Welcome to the online message. We are in Luke's Gospel this week in chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, as we follow the lectionary readings for the day. And you think, wait a minute, preacher. Last week we was over there in verse 31. Why are we moving back? Well, the lectionary is not in chronological order. But what the lectionary does is gives us scripture pertaining to what's going on with the church calendar. And right now with the church calendar, we're in the season of Lent. And Jesus is talking about, in chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, about a call to repentance and also about the barren fig tree. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. Luke 13, 1 through 9. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were sacrificing in the temple in Jerusalem. "Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than any other people from Galilee?" Jesus asked. And he went on to say, red letter edition, "Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will also perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God. And what about the 18 men who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, and I tell you again that unless you repent, you will also perish." Now, Jesus tells the parable or an illustration of the barren fig tree. Then Jesus used this illustration. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again, excuse me, if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed, and finally he said to his gardener, "I waited 3 years, and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's taking up space that we can use for something else." The gardener answered, "Give it one more chance. Leave it there another year, and I will give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, you can cut it down." May God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Jesus took scripture advice one time on our lemon tree that we had, and it was not producing any lemons, and she went out there in the name of Jesus. "If you don't produce lemons next year, we're going to cut you down." Wow, voila, we getting bumper crops of lemons ever since. So, the title of my message is Fertilize Your Faith. Now, everybody knows that apathy, not anger, not empathy, but knows that apathy, not anger, is the opposite of love through frustrated anger that can lead to apathy. Complacency, not passion, is the opposite of discipleship. Though frustrated passion can lead to complacency is the bane of today's denominational church. We in the United Methodist Church are going through some complacency. Example given that we had canceled General Conference until 2024. Well, the Western American denominational church is undergoing, as my colleague Leonard Sweet, also a United Methodist, and he put it this way, so we have a reproduction problem, and it's failing to reproduce disciples for Christ who bear the fruit of the gospel in the fields of God's global world. So when you don't bear fruit, you can't produce seeds that continue to root and grow. And if you use up all your seeds, you're not going to get any fruit. A barren plant in your garden is a plant that's only taking up space, depleting the soil, but not producing viable food. A barren church does essentially the same thing. Thank God we're not a barren church. We don't have a lot of people coming, but we are not a barren church because the building is just taking up space. No, not at all, not here at Bethel. But is a non-productive entity stunted in the ability to reproduce and refusing to feed the world? As little as Bethel is, we're doing yeoman's work to try to spread the gospel, plant seeds of grace. Now, this is how Jesus described Israel in the first century. He's directing his admonition, however, particularly at the religious elite, those who are in positions of power and status. The Jerusalem temple and its influential priests and Pharisees certainly demanded attention. And at the center of Judaism, now you couldn't miss this, the temple's towering facade, the sprawling structure was essentially barren of spirit. The Jewish people weren't being fed. The rest of the vineyard was being stunned by the temple's nutrient-sucking needs. It was literally sucking the life and means out of many, especially the powerless. God's covenant was not being organically reproduced in the hearts of its constituents. And then while the spiritual empty temple, or church if you would, their elite enjoyed the succulent perks of money and power, but the rest of Israel was denied the rich spiritual food that should have been granted so that it could produce and reproduce, you know? Taking up space in God's vineyard, the metaphor that Jesus used we just read, for God's world at large, especially the world of Israel and Judaism at the time, the temple had become a huge, imposing, but barren Ephesus of a life depleting monster. Wow. Let's fast forward. Now it's the 21st century, and it seems that we have come full circle. Western Christian denominational discipleship has become stagnant. Its roots shriveled, its soul depleted. Oh yeah, our buildings are still intact, but our disciples are failing to thrive. We're failing to reproduce. What looks like a church and acts like a church is struggling to survive as mass denominational structures cling to life. Barren of fruit and seed, their churches grasp for the Holy Spirit air. The church is like a golem, big on presence and short on spirit. The church has lost its passion. Now, thank God we at Bethel have not lost our passion, but there's a lot of churches around us, United Methodists included, are struggling because they're not planting seeds. In last week's scripture text, we saw Jesus lamenting for Jerusalem. Now, this week, much of the way that Abraham did for Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus, the gardener, pleads with God for a chance to resuscitate Israel's stronghold. Despite Jesus' near constant struggle with Jerusalem's elite, he loves Jerusalem, as he shared last week. He loves his Jewish faith. Oh yeah, we become Christians because of Jesus, but Jesus was raised in his Jewish faith, and he loves it. Judeo-Christian principles are alive and well today. And he also loved the symbol of the temple, or in modern times we call it the church, although the Jewish people still call their church temple. And God loves God's people. You know what? We're all God's people. But he also knows ultimately the temple will fall, for its heart has become barren, and through God in Jesus, we can overcome barrenness. There must be an eagerness, though, among us to conceive and a difference before God for healing at the time, and at the day that Jesus was walking the earth, Jerusalem had neither. Barrenness in the Jewish faith is the worst kind of status to have. Yet refusing to reproduce or multiply is different from the inability to reproduce or multiply, as the scriptures are fulfilled with the stories of barren women, for example, who desperately want to bear children but are unable. Engaging in urgent and persistent prayer, God answers their prayers and grants them children. Even Abraham, is promised a plethora of descendants should he adhere to the covenant that God had provided. Barrenness for those who long for the ability to reproduce is the worst possible fate that they can imagine, akin to Sheol, which a lot of times is talked about as hell. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 16, says this, "Yet God has the ability to resurrect barren wombs, lands, and spirits, and to recreate them in a condition of fruitfulness and prolonged life." You can also read about that kind of promise that God has given us in Deuteronomy 7 and Leviticus 26, Ezekiel 37, and many other scriptures. Even one bad apple can be cast out, but a barren tree has nothing to offer. From the beginning of time, God gave us a directive to bear fruit and multiply. God's covenant relationship with humankind throughout all generations, to be productive people of God's beautiful garden vineyard. We live in a beautiful world, amen. And the more fruit that we bear, the more love we seed, and more people who receive God's blessings and proclaiming God's presence and gloriness. Genesis 1:28. And yet, evil and sin can turn a beautiful, fruitful land into a salty waste. Look at Psalm 107, verse 34. The message in Jesus' parable is clear. A plant that doesn't bear fruit refuses to give life. So, what does not reproduce creates no future, does it? It's a narcissistic, self-serving, expanding eyesore, thwarting life and thwarting God. Hallelujah! Jesus begins, and he said, one last chance to nurture it into a life-giving entity. Those who refuse to recognize him, excuse me, even though they want to kill him, and they did, for God is a God of not one more, but many chances. I always say God's not only a God of second chances, but thousands of chances, and even millions of chances. Why? Because Jesus is the master of resurrections. Wants to fertilize the barren tree of life. You see, in a sense, Jesus' parable is teaching us not only about the dangers of an institution without soil, but the amazing resurrecting power of God Almighty, who responds quickly and surely to faith and, more importantly, intercessory prayer. Think of Nineveh. In an instant, the people turned to God and put on sackcloth and ashes and repented and were saved from destruction. In fact, God's mercy and love is so great that Jonah was nearly beside himself in anger. People over there, God, they don't need to be served. They don't need to be saved. But because he wanted to be able to see them destroyed for what he had done. Think of Samson, who turned from his vow to God, distracted by the perks of the material world and a beautiful woman by the name of Delilah. In the end, through prayer and recommitment, God came to his aid and his strength was returned. Oh, think of King David. Man after my own heart, God said, but listen to what he'd done. He committed a horrible crime in order to take what did not belong to him, which was Bathsheba. And yet, when he repented, God lauded him as the greatest king Israel ever had, even calling David a man after my own heart. Well, the scriptures are filled with people who, in a time of repentance and barrenness, received and reconstituted hearts by the hand of God. That's what God's salvation healing is all about. Now, we can imagine Jesus must have prayed continually over Jerusalem. In the end, he could not save them, but he did save many others, including you and me. Hallelujah, praise be to God. So Jesus is now our advocate. He sits at the right hand of God, pleading our case to Father all the time, just as he was here when he walked the earth. He is, after all, the creator and the artist of fertilization. Amen? Jesus, as God, resurrected people and places and lives and even Jesus from the dead. Wow. We can also refertilize our hearts with life-sustaining faith and nourishing love, sating your hunger for truth and your need for relationship, so that you too can become a healthy and fruitful life-bearing gift to everybody around us. We need to be able to share that love and grace with others. So a church that is barren and has no future, and all of our churches today are in many cases victim of soullessness and sprawling institution that once gave them life. You know, the word denomination really means division. Now, they started out without meaning that that would happen, but there is so much division within the denominations today. Next thing you know, they're spurting a new church. Somebody that wants to say, well, you know, this is an old dead church. I want to go start a new one. That's why we have First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, Third Baptist Church, and the others. And United Methodists are struggling with that also. But as people of God's vineyard, we don't need to be victims of a fig tree without fruit. We ourselves can devote our hearts to God, and in turn, we will receive God's resurrection gift of fruit-bearing and seed-sowing. Because when you get the fruit, well, you cut it open, and there's a lot of seeds inside that fruit. Amen? For we know from Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, seeding the gospel begins, and nothing can stop its growth in perpetuity. Not even a barren fig tree. Jesus, God Almighty, manifested in the flesh, is the artist of fertilization. And he creates life from barrenness and fruitlessness and from out of the wasteness of sometimes of a land. The prophecy for Israel was that in the latter days, the barren desert in Israel will blossom. And that's happening today. The desert is blossoming, producing fruit, beautiful flowers. And it's truth of every one of Jesus' healing and the reality of his identity, both as Son and Creator. What a joy! So today, and going forward in this barren time of Lent, and that's really represents when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, it was a barren time. And we on the church calendar are lamenting, or we're giving up something that we may be able to experience God's grace and to understand the season of Lent. And my prayer for all of us that we will earnestly pray for God's gift of fruitfulness, and more importantly, hang on to the promise of the blessed hope. You see, Jesus has the ability to restore your faith, restore your hope, and your passion, and Resurrection Day is coming. Hallelujah. And the question for all of us, will we be ready for the Resurrection Day? Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day, and we are moving along in church. We're trying to get the youth back. We're trying to do a lot of things, so if you ever thought about coming back and visiting and seeing what's happening, why, we would welcome you. But we also appreciate you for tuning into the online service. May God's blessings be upon you and all that you do, and pray that God will keep you safe until we meet again. Amen.